into our topic tonight as we move into the book of Joshua. So we just finished the Torah, and so we're going to, now we're starting a series on the book of Joshua. And so with that, we will overlap a little bit into the book of Deuteronomy. So it's going to be Joshua chapter 1 and chapter 2 tonight. Joshua, the two spies, and Rahab, strong, brave, and courageous. So in Deuteronomy, some of Moses' last words in chapter 31, verse 6, Moses said to Israel, "Be strong and of a good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you." And then Moses said to Joshua, "Be strong and of a good courage, for you must go to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them. The Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed." And so twice Moses said it to the people. Obviously, Joshua heard it. And then he said it specifically to Joshua. So Joshua heard it twice from Moses. And then we move into Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, 'Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel.'" And so this is now the Lord speaking. So we have Moses speaking and now the Lord speaking, and again telling him to go over into the land of Canaan to conquer the land that God had promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Verse 3, "Every place that the sole of your feet will tread upon, I have given, as I said to Moses, from Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, to the great sea, that shall be your territory." And so the delineation of that, as you see there on the map, there, the yellow portion is the territory, the boundaries of modern Israel, give or take. The blue square there is from the Great Sea, the Mediterranean Sea, all the way out to the Euphrates River. And so that's what God was promising to Joshua, to be able to conquer all of that territory. And now to Abraham, as well as to Isaac and to Jacob, God promised from the Nile River to the Euphrates River. So it'd be even bigger than the blue square there. And unfortunately, during Joshua's time, they never conquered all of that land. And even into David's time, never conquered that total land that God had promised to them. But he says, "I place your, wherever you put your feet, there I am giving it to you. Go and conquer the land. It will be your territory." Because the people of that land, the land of Canaan and the other nations, had hardened their hearts. So much so that even if God would have given them a million, a billion more years, they never would have changed. God at that point had already given them 400 years from when Abraham and Isaac and Jacob were there. And even 40 years since he delivered us out of the land of Egypt and parted the Red Sea. And they had heard that story. We'll see that a little bit later on in our chapters tonight. So they knew and heard the stories, but still refused to yield to the Lord God Almighty. And so it's at that point. So God is very merciful. I mean, giving 400 years, God said their cup of iniquity is not full yet. And so now at this point, their cup of iniquity is full and overflowing. And again, nothing God can do will ever reach them because they've hardened their hearts. And so then God said, now is the time to go and conquer the territories. Verse 5, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of a good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them." So this is the third time we're seeing. So the first time it was Moses speaking to the people within Joshua's hearing, and then directly to Joshua. And now the Lord speaking directly to Joshua and telling him some of the same words, "Be strong and of a good courage. I will not leave you nor forsake you." God wants Joshua to get that message down, right? "And go wherever you go, that land I'm going to give you. No man shall be able to stand before you all of your days." I mean, what a wonderful promise. Right? And he should have conquered it with the people. They should have been able to conquer all of that land, because God promised, no man shall be able to stand before you. And we saw some of the nations they already had conquered, and the victory that God had given to them. And so they could have taken those promises, and the same with us. God has given us wonderful promises in his word. And we take him at his word and believe his word. I will give to you pressed down and shaken together and overflowing. We're willing to meet the conditions and believe in him. He will do these wonderful promises over and over in his word. It's up to us whether we will take it, believe it. Tuesday for us to look at Joshua and said he should have. But we should be in heaven by now if we would believe God's promises and allow God's Spirit to take us and use us and fulfill his promises within our lives. These promises are for us also. No one will be able to stand. The gates of hell will not be able to stand against you. God calls us to go and beat down the gates of hell and to set free those that are captive there. The devil has no power over the Lord. And if we take hold of the arm of the Lord, the devil will have no power over us. There's no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But with every temptation, God will give us a way of escape. Wonderful promise. He will give us the ability to escape all temptations and be victorious over all temptation. Do we believe his word? No man, no devil, no evil angel, nothing will be able to stand against us as we move forward in faith in the Lord. Believe his promises and conquer the land that God has given to us. Starting with ourselves, our souls, our mind, our hearts, our bodies. Conquer it in the name of the Lord. The nature, the carnal nature. Conquer it by the power and blood of the Messiah. And be victorious. That's what God calls us to move forward and to do. And we see that with Joshua as well. Here in still Joshua 1 verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. This is the prosperity gospel. The real prosperity gospel, not the one that's often taught today. This is the biblical prosperity gospel. This is how to prosper and have good success in God's word. God tells him again, now what do we do the fourth time? Only be strong and very courageous, right? This time, not so much to conquer the physical land, but to conquer self. Observe to do according to all the law. It starts with us. It starts in our hearts. It starts in our minds. And in order to be able to inherit the new heavens and the new earth, the meek shall inherit it, we need to be meek. We need to be surrendered to God. We need to be under his presence. And we need to be victorious by God's strength and God's power over all sin. He will keep us from falling. Do we believe his promises? Observe to do according to all the law. When God says something like that, he gives the power to fulfill it. He doesn't ask us to do anything without giving the ability to do it as well. So when he tells Joshua, observe to do according to all the law, he gives him the power to do it by being strong and courageous in God's might, in God's power, in God's strength, by God's grace. And not to turn. Don't turn from the law. Don't turn to the right hand or the left. Don't forsake it. Keep your eyes focused on the goal. Don't turn. And then you will prosper. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. It's so amazing how many people who read the Bible say the book of the law doesn't apply anymore. The book of the law is done away with. The book of the law is old. It's gone. It's been nullified. When he says, don't let it depart from your mouth. Is God schizophrenic? You know, was he wrong here? Did he later on, oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that to Joshua. What an idiot I was. I don't know what I was talking about back then. But now I've learned a lot, and now I know I shouldn't have said those things. I shouldn't have wrote those things. Is that? I mean, that's what they basically taught. But that's not what it says here, right? The way to be prosperous, the way to have good success is to not allow the book of the law, the Torah, that we've just been studying for the last 150 weeks or so. Don't let it depart from your mouth, but meditate on it day and night, 24/7, continually. Think on God's word. Whatsoever is good, whatsoever is holy, whatsoever is just, whatsoever is truth, whatsoever is of good report, think on these things. Not like modern meditation, which talks about emptying the mind, a very dangerous thing to do, because then the devil will fill your mind. Don't empty your mind, but it says meditate on the book of the law. Fill your mind with God's word. Fill your mind with his Torah. Fill your mind with his law. Meditate on it, think on it. And he will keep us from falling. He will lead us not into temptation. And then to observe it. Don't just listen to it. Don't just believe. Don't just think about it. But do all those things. But then observe to do it. Believe it, read it, meditate on it, think it. And then by God's power, God's spirit living within us, observe to do it. And then you will be prosperous and have good success. That's God's order. That's how God brings success. That's how God brings his prosperity into our lives. By following his ways, by following his laws, by doing what he tells us to do. And he gives us all the instructions for every aspect of our lives, on relationships, interpersonal relationships with all kinds of people, men and women, and marriage, and on what to eat, what not to eat, how to use the finances God puts into our hands. All these things God tells us how to do, how to observe him, how to worship him. He gives us instruction in all these things. And if we observe them by his power, by his grace, we will prosper and have good success according to his will. It's a good formula. Be strong. Only be strong and very courageous. You need God's courage. You need God's strength. Take a hold of it tonight and move forward victorious in him. Verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of a good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Number 5, right? Fifth time he's telling them the same thing. He wants us to get this down. Believe, have faith, trust in him. Be strong, of a good courage. Do not be afraid of anything. No fear. No fear, do not be afraid, nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Meditate on these things. Right? And to help you meditate on those things, we put it on a shirt for you. So you can go to shalomadventure.com and you can get a shirt with those very words and you can tell the world. So if you ever forget, you can just look in the mirror and there it is, right? Be strong, meditate on these things. Be strong and of a good courage. Do not be afraid. And tell the world to not be afraid. Trust in the Lord. He is with us. He will not leave us nor forsake us. Verse 10, Joshua commanded the officers of the people, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves. For within 3 days, you will cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. So only 3 more days. It's taken us 40 years to get here, but only 3 more days. Prepare your hearts and your minds, prepare provisions. Get ready, we're crossing the Jordan. It's in flood stage, but prepare, we're going to cross. We're going in 3 days. Numbers used quite a lot in the Bible, 3 days. Verse 16, they answered Joshua, all that you command us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Only the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. And whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words, in all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. So the sixth time, twice from Moses, a bunch of times from the Lord, and now the people are telling Joshua, be strong and of a good courage. Have faith. Now these people telling him, all that you command us to do, we will do just as we did with Moses. I don't know, that wouldn't give me any comfort, right? Would that make you feel really good? Now granted, okay, most of the rebellious ones had already died in the wilderness, right? So the ones that are left are pretty faithful, right? We've seen in the last few chapters, they've conquered a bunch of nations completely, totally, even sent only 12,000 people against like probably over 100,000 and conquered the whole entire land, fortified cities, and didn't lose one soldier, right? So these are pretty faithful people at this point. So they're trusting the Lord, but still they don't fully grasp the whole gospel, because they say anyone who doesn't fulfill the command will put him to death. Right? That's not the spirit of Moses, right? That's not the spirit of the Lord. The Lord is very merciful. Moses interceded for the people. Give them another chance. But here, no chance, no second chance. They disobey, we'll kill them right there on the spot. No traitors, right? And the Lord is very long-suffering. He's merciful. He's forgiving iniquity. But no wise clears the guilty, right? There comes a time where the cup of iniquity is full and that's it. But they're not quite grasping all of that yet here. But they're moving in the right direction anyway. They're wanting to follow. Now into chapter 2, verse 1. Joshua the son of Nun sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. And they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. So he sends two spies. Now, I'm not exactly sure why he did that. It doesn't say the Lord told him to send two spies. It doesn't say he prayed about it and was impressed to send two spies. It just says Joshua sent two spies. And it ends up working out pretty good, so maybe the Lord did impress him to do so. But if we remember, 39 years prior, they sent over 12 spies, and that didn't work too good. So that's why maybe only the time he sent two. So he just sent two. Last time, two of us at least came back with a good report, Joshua and Caleb. And so he only sent two to go and spy out the land. They really didn't need to. He'd already been there. He'd already seen what Jericho looked like. He knew what kind of fortified city it had at least 39 years ago, probably even stronger now. But nonetheless, he sends two spies, and they come to the house of this harlot named Rahab and lodged with her. Now, I don't know about you, but if that was me, that would not have been the house I chose to go and hide out in. That would not have been the first place. This doesn't make good sense. You're trying to find who's the most honest man in town, right? Who's the best person? Who's got the best character here? Maybe I'll trust him, right? Who has a little bit of faith, right? Not someone who's living openly in sin, right? But that's who they end up with. And we don't know why. It doesn't give us the details. We don't know if she picked them out, if she, you know, determined, oh, these look like maybe probably some of the Israelites are certainly not from this area. And she goes and grabs them and brings them in, or the Holy Spirit impressed them. That's the person, go with her. But it doesn't say they searched out the whole city. They just found her and they went into her house and lodged there, hoping the message didn't get back to their wives at home. But nonetheless, this is where they went. This is where they end up with. And so they're in her house, I believe divinely, miraculously brought together. Verse 2, and it was told the king of Jericho, behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country. So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the country. Now, this is interesting, because it says that the message came to the king, and the king said, go to Rahab's house. Right away, boom. And he didn't call her a harlot. He just says, go to Rahab. So it's like he knows her firsthand, right? He knows her on a first-name basis, right? Just go to Rahab's house. He knows where it is, what address. He said, go to Rahab's house. And so whoever told the king must have seen the two men go into Rahab's house and must have determined that these were Israeli Jewish spies. Because they didn't search the city. They didn't go from house to house knocking on doors. They went right there. So they knew where they had gone and who they were. Verse 4. She said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. As the gate was being shut, when it was dark, the men went out. Where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them." But she had brought them up to the roof and hid them with the stacks of flax, which she had laid in order on the roof. So she hides them up there, goes, answers the door, and tells them this lie. Now, I don't advocate lying, but compared to whatever else, all the other stuff she was doing in her life, now this is by the least of it. It was a good lie as far as lies go, because if she would have said, "No, I don't know what you're talking about, no one here," they would have searched the house, right? They knew. So her saying, "Yes, they were here, but they left," at least goes along with what they were already believing, right? And so she convinced them, maybe she was very convincing or whatever. She said, "Yes, they were here, but they've left and they got out and they just left. You better go search for them. They're going to get away. They just left a little bit ago. Go and find them." And they believed her, and the men pursued them by the road to the Jordan, to the fords. And as soon as they had pursued them, had gone out, they shut the gate. So they opened the gate for the guards. They ran out. They shut the gate right away, so the two spies can't escape as well. And they go running all the way down to the river, and they're looking all over the place for them and can't find them. Same time, verse 8, still Joshua 2. She came to them on the roof and said, "I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed." So this is pretty amazing. This is 40 years later, and she's mentioning the drying up of the Red Sea. She probably wasn't even born when that happened. And yet the news of that reached all the way up to Jericho and stayed there and was repeated there and remembered by the people and taught to her as she was growing up. And she knew and she believed it and says, "I know that the Lord," and she uses the Yud Heh Vav Heh name here, "the Lord has given you the land." And so she understands the promise of the land more than many people today understand the promises over and over again for the land and all that goes with it. "Has promised you the land." And we're fearful. We're terrified. We've even heard what you did to the two kings across. So news traveled fast. Somehow it got across the Jordan River. I don't know how, but somehow they had heard what had happened to the other kings. And they didn't even mention the Midianites here, but Sihon and Og, and what had happened to them, and the five kings of Midian, utterly destroyed. And so they're on the march, and they're fearful. Now the terror has fallen on us. The whole city is afraid. But out of the whole city, she's the only one who fears the Lord. The others are afraid, but not of the Lord. And there's a difference. There's a difference. And so they have an opportunity too. And we'll see in future chapters, not tonight. God gives them even another 7 days. And they refuse to repent. God's very merciful, long-suffering. But a day of judgment does come. Verse 11, "As soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath." Not just any God, not just some imaginary God, not just one of the gods, your God. He is God of heaven and earth. Not shared with anyone else. He is ruler over all the earth and over heaven as well. She has strong faith. She believes and understands amazingly. And out of the whole city, only one. The only one. And God brought the two men to her, her to them, but in some ways brought them together. Amazingly, miraculously, divine appointment. And God will go before us as well. As we go through our day, interacting, shopping, store, at school, at work, wherever we are, God has gone before us, preparing hearts and minds, and will bring us into contact with that one person in all the store, in all the school, in all the workplace that is open and receptive to hear God's message. As we surrender, as we listen to Him, as we listen to His voice, as we hear Him, He will direct our paths and bring us together. She believes, she has faith. Verse 12, I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house, and give me a true token, and spare my father, my mother, my brothers, and my sister, and all they have, and deliver our lives from death. She's also showing evangelistic card here. She wants to save others as well. Right away, once she comes in contact with the living God and His messengers, she wants to reach out and help others as well. Save my father, save my mother, save my brothers and sisters. Reach them as well. And when we have God's heart, when we come in contact with Him, when we truly see Him as the Lord God of heaven and earth, God will give us a burden for those around us. A burden for the lost.
Yes.
To go and to seek and to save that which is lost. Still Joshua 2, verse 15. Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall. And she said, get to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you. Hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned after you. After that, you may go your way. So again, 3 days, she says, go into the mountains and hide for 3 days. She lets them down. And miraculous here, again, providence here, put her house right on the wall. That she was able to do this. Now, maybe she did this for a lot of her clients. I don't know. Maybe a lot of people didn't want to go out the door. You know, maybe some people got in and out. I don't know. But she knew that way and knew how to do it. And she let down the rope, and they go down the rope. Let them down. And says, go there for 3 days. Hide there for 3 days. So again, we have the three. Verse 17, the men said, we will be blameless of your oath unless you bind this scarlet cord in the window and you bring all your father's household to your home. Whoever goes into the street, his blood shall be on his head, and we will be guiltless. Whoever is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head if a hand is laid on him. If you tell this business of ours, then we will be free from your oath, which you have made us swear. So there's a condition. She can have a burden for them. She can be concerned for them. She can go and share with them, tell them to come into the home. But people still have free will. And if they go out on the street, their blood will be upon them. And God calls us to go forth. God calls us to go and share. But the choice still lays on every individual on what we're going to do with that. But God called us to be watchmen on the walls and to share His message. And if we don't share His message, then the blame will be on us for those who don't know about Him and die in their sins. But if we share the message and they refuse, then the judgment will be upon them. Heavy. High responsibility God has given to us. He sends us forth to go and to share. So they say, take this scarlet cord, bind this cord. And maybe that's the cord that she let down for them and let them down on. A scarlet cord in the window as a sign. Hang it there. And she said, according to your words, so be it. And she bound the scarlet cord in the window. And they departed and went to the mountain and stayed there 3 days until the pursuers returned. And they came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and told him all that had befallen them. Truly, the Lord has delivered all the land into our hands. For indeed, all the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us. And maybe that's why God needed to send the two spies. Maybe that's why Joshua sent it. Those two spies, maybe the people needed to hear that. Maybe they needed that much more encouragement to hear of the fear that has taken place so that they could move forward. They had heard of the giants. They knew there were giants in the land. They knew there were fortified cities. They should have just had faith, but this might have been that encouragement to lift them up. And God has given us a history before us. He's given us his word of victories that people have gained. And since that time as well, that's why it's good for us to testify. It's good for us to come together. It's good for us to share together. It's good for us to have prayer requests and answers to prayer and share them with each other. So at the end of our service, we like to do that praise time. And then during the midweek service, we have the prayer time and the praise time. It's important for us to encourage us and to strengthen us as we see how God is at work. Gives us courage, gives us that strength to move forward by his power. Again, they do the 3 days and then they go to Joshua. And she obeyed. She bound the scarlet cord in the window. That's interesting. It mentions the color. Didn't have to mention the color. Could have just said the rope. Just bind this rope, whatever color it is, bind this rope. But they specifically mentioned the color, the scarlet cord. And of all colors that it could have been, it was the scarlet colored cord that she used to hang over her window. Similar as we came out of Egypt, it was a scarlet colored blood that painted the doorpost and revealed who believed and who was on God's side. That scarlet colored cord, representing the Messiah, his sacrifice, his blood that covers our lives, that grants us forgiveness, that grants us deliverance, that protects us. She hung the scarlet, she believed, and enacted on that belief and tied the cord and hung it out there. And as they came and they saw the scarlet colored cord, they knew that this was the one. This was the house. This is where the believer was. And so in the judgment, it will be also. We have the blood of Messiah over our lives that has washed us clean, that has forgiven our sins, that has set us free, that has removed the carnal nature from us so that we can be filled with his spirit. It is that scarlet blood, the sacrifice of the Messiah, that grants us forgiveness and sets us free and liberates us and is the entrance to heaven, and that saves us. Hold fast to that cord. Hold fast to the Lord. Trust in him. So we jump into chapter 6. Another week we'll cover 3, 4, and 5, but right now we'll jump to chapter 6 in the book of Joshua, verse 21. They utterly destroyed all that was in Jericho. But Joshua said to the two men who had spied out the country, "Go into the harlot's house and bring out the woman and all that she has, as you have sworn to her." And the young men brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers, and all that she had. So miraculously, as the walls of Jericho came tumbling down, her section of the wall did not. That's a miracle of God. We have that scarlet colored cord on our lives, on our homes, on our hearts. The world can fall down around us, but God will give us the strength to be strong and courageous, and we will be able to stand. When all else has failed, God will give us the power to stand, therefore. Standing in his might, covered in him and strengthened in him, standing strong in him. That cord held up that wall, held up her window, held up her room. And so Joshua sent the two men. The men are never mentioned. We never get their name. We never know their name. Their names are never mentioned for whatever reason. Mighty men, brave men, they risked their lives to go in there. They were led by the Lord to her. They obeyed 3 days. They gave the message, hang the cord, the scarlet cord. They send back the message to Joshua, a faithful report. They could have told of the walled city. They could have told of the soldiers. They could have told of the height and the might. They gave a faithful report. And yet their names are not mentioned. And sometimes we just don't get the credit. Really, we don't deserve any credit because it's the Lord who does everything anyway. They're not mentioned. But Joshua tells them, go. And he doesn't remember her name. He says, the harlot's house. So they told the whole story. They said it was harlot, Rahab, she was a harlot. We went through our house. They wouldn't, no rumors. They told the whole story. We didn't do anything, but it was a harlot's house. I just wanted you to know that. So he says, go to the harlot's house and deliver her. And so the young men went, and they brought her out, and her father was there, her mother was there, her brothers were there. They believed her report. They believed they were saved as well because of her faith and all that she had. In verse 25, Joshua spared Rahab, the harlot, her father's household, and all that she had. So she dwells in Israel to this day because she hid the messengers from whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. So Joshua sent the two spies, and he sent them to spy out the land, and then he sent them back to go and spare Rahab. And still called at that point, still Rahab the harlot. But this is why she still hasn't been freed of that label, of that hanging over her head, that title on her. But she dwells in Israel till this day when this was written. She became part of the family of God. Now, I don't believe she continued in prostitution, or she wouldn't be a part of the family of God, right? She would have been stoned. She shed that carnal nature. She believed, she was changed, she was transformed. And miraculously, by faith, beautifully, she becomes a part of Israel, dwells in Israel to that day. And that's God's desire. From all the way back then, bring Jew and Gentile together, brings Rahab the harlot, the Canaanite, Jerichoitis, living in sin, touched her, reached her, and brought her forth, and made her part of the Israel of God. Just as he did 40 years earlier with the mixed multitude that came out of Egypt with the children of Israel. That is God's plan. Has always been God's plan. The door and the invitation has always been open to all who will believe in the Lord. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thus all Israel shall be saved. Then to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. So again, the walls of Jericho circled 7 days. It's 7 days to believe. It's 40 years to believe since they had heard of the Red Sea parting. But then God gave them even another 7 days after defeating the kings on the other side. But out of all the city, Rahab is the only one who believed. And she had received the spies with peace by faith. She still has the label harlot here. I don't know why. Maybe because here in context, the writer of the book of Hebrews is talking about when she was a harlot. And so maybe that's why he mentions it there. But we don't need to continue having the labels placed on us the rest of our lives. When we come to the Lord, we die in Him. We accept our death in Him that He has already done. We're actually born dead. He died for us. We died in Him when He died. And He died from the foundation of the world, the Lamb was slain. And when we believe that, that we are already dead in Him, it becomes a reality in our life. And the old has passed away, and all things become new. New creatures. New minds, new hearts, new desires. Changed. No longer that way. I know there's groups, they come together and they say, I am, and it's been 30 years since they were. No, I used to be, but by God's grace, I no longer am. I am now a child of God. I am born anew. The old has passed away. The old is buried. The old man is buried away and dead. And anew has been brought forth. All things made new. New heart, new mind, new life, new desires, new actions. She has been transformed and changed. We go to the book of James, chapter 2, verse 24. You see then that a man is justified by works and not only by faith. Was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. More than just faith. There's a lot of say, believe, 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 just have faith, just believe, 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 without calling for a change in heart. And faith without a change of heart is dead, is nothing. It's just profession, which gets us nowhere. But true faith is demonstrated by God changing our life. True faith that is filled with the Holy Spirit, that is filled by God's grace, will be changed and will walk in obedience to his laws, will walk in obedience to his ways. Just as Rahab, she believed and she acted on that faith. She could have believed that the Lord God, he parted the Red Sea 40 years prior. She could have believed that it was the Lord who gave them the victory over the kingdoms of Og and whatever the others and Midianites. But when she saw the spies, if she didn't act upon it, and it took bravery, she could have been killed. But she acted upon it. And that action proved the faith was real. And so she was justified by works, not only by faith. Because the works prove that the faith is there. Faith comes first, not works. Faith comes first. But true faith always works and brings about good works.
Amen.
In the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 5, Salmon begat Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begat Obed by Ruth. Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David the king. And then down the line, verse 16, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Yeshua, who is called Messiah. Amazing. Amazing. Rahab sheds the name harlot, not mentioned here, just Rahab. She marries this man named Solomon and has a child named Boaz. And Boaz marries Ruth. Now, who is Ruth? What was Ruth?
Daughter-in-law.
Right? She was the daughter-in-law of Naomi. But she was from where? Moab. She was a Moabitess. But she also is included here in the lineage. So David's grandmother, right? Grandmother? Great-grandmother is Rahab. Pretty amazing. Former harlot. Former Canaanite. A former Jerichoite. And a former Moabite in David's matriarch lineage. And not only in David, but in Yeshua's. Absolutely amazing what God can do. Regardless of our past, no matter what the past has been, God can so change our lives and use us to bring about the coming of the Messiah. God used Rahab and Ruth, as well as these others, to bring about the coming of the Messiah. And God can use you and me to bring about his second coming as well. No matter what the past was, all things are passed away. Surrender all, die in him, and allow him to make you new and to use us in bringing forth and hastening his coming. The power of God. Absolutely amazing. From probably the lowest form, I mean, already the Canaanites of Jericho, the whole city didn't believe. And all the people in the city, one of the lowest on their scale. And yet God has raised her up to one of the highest positions that could be. The power of God to totally transform our lives. That is the power of the gospel. It changes everything. So who does Rahab represent? Gentiles who are true in heart and who bravely repent and join the Israel of God. And the two Israeli spies, who do they represent? Those who know the truth and who boldly go out and share it with others, delivering them from the gates of hell. So God calls all of us to be one of those two groups that come together. And then as soon as Rahab came and believed again, she then went and shared it with others. So if we're in the first Rahab stage, and as soon as we give our hearts to the Lord, then we're like the two Israeli spies who need to go forward, who know the truth, and boldly go out and share it with others, delivering them from the gates of hell. And so then, who does Joshua represent? So for this, I need a whole new slide. Joshua represents Yeshua. The name's similar. Joshua means that Jehovah saves, where Yeshua just means salvation, right? So for Joshua, Yeshua, it's Jehovah who saves, the Lord who saves, God who saves, and for Yeshua, he is salvation. He is the salvation. Joshua was the leader of God's people. Yeshua is the leader of God's people. Joshua sent out the men into the land. Yeshua sends us out. Joshua sent them out too. Yeshua sends us out two by two into the land to go and to seek and to save that which is lost. Joshua saved those who believed. He said, go and save that to Rahab's house. Yeshua saves those who believe. Joshua led them into the promised land. Yeshua will lead us into the eternal promised land. Joshua gave them their inheritance by tribe. Yeshua says he gives us his inheritance. Become co-heirs with him. How amazing is that? The Lord of all eternity, who owns everything, says, you are co-equal heirs with me. The meek shall inherit the earth. What a wonderful promise. And that's not only in the future, right here and now. We are co-heirs with him. The power that he had available to him when he was on this earth, he has given to us as well. We have the same power, the same Holy Spirit that was with him is with us as well. Co-heirs with him. Sons and daughters of God. Yes. Joshua, there's no recorded sin against him. Now, no doubt, as the Bible says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but no recorded sin, no known rebellious open sin against him. And in his whole life, we have many years of his life recorded in the scriptures. And Yeshua committed no sin, was tempted in all ways, like we are, yet without sin. And then also, both of them had a miraculous birth. Yeshua was born from Mary, just one human parent, and Joshua had no human parents. Miraculous birth. It says, Joshua, the son of Nun. Amazing, isn't it? Amazing. So God calls us to walk in faith. And if God can use Joshua to represent the Messiah, God wants to fill us with his spirit so he can live in us and out of us and fulfill his will in us as well, allowing his spirit to flow through us. And so tonight, if you're in a stage of Rahab, some sin in your life, some sin on your record, some label upon you, that Satan is going to bring up in the judgment against you. Some sin that's still there on the record books hasn't been confessed and forgiven and victory over. And don't go another moment. When we pray, in just a little bit, surrender it to the Lord completely and fully and die to self. Whatever it is, whatever habit, whatever actions, past or present, anything that the Holy Spirit impresses you on, anything he's convicting you of, surrender it to the Lord and be victorious in God's might. Be strong and courageous and obey God's commands. Move forward in faith in him, trusting the Lord to give you the victory, complete victory here and now. I don't care how long it's had a hold on your life. I don't care how many generations. Claim the power of Yeshua. to lay the axe at the root, to cut it down, to set you free. For those that the Son has set free are free indeed, completely free. He'll set you free. Claim it. Lay hold of his promise. Have faith like Rahab. Be strong and very courageous. Do not fear. The Lord is with you. He will not forsake you. He will come through. Trust not in self. Trust in the Lord, in his spirit, in his power, and gain the victory. If you already believe and are walking in God's grace, he's calling you forth like the two Israeli spies to go into the world, to go into the cities, to go inside the fortresses of the devil, and to seek those that are lost, and to deliver them, and to set them free, to draw them out, and claim God's power. And when we pray, ask God's Spirit to go before you, to soften hearts, and then to direct your path, to direct your feet to just that right person who is open and receptive and who's ready to receive. Out of the whole store, out of the whole school, out of the whole workplace, wherever it is, your whole neighborhood, your whole family, Lord, direct me to the one who's ready and open. Let God's providence bring it, and let the Holy Spirit touch your mouth and give you the words to speak and the actions to live, to be the example and to go forth mightily for him. And the Lord is calling us to move forward as Joshua did, to be an example, to lead forth, to go forth, to send others, and to lead us into the promised land and bring others with us, and to live by God's grace without any known open rebellious sin, victorious in him, miraculous new birth in him, transformed by his grace and living for him. So whichever applies to you and me tonight, let us pray and let God's Spirit work in our hearts and minds. Lord Almighty, Creator of the heavens and the earth, we praise you and we thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace and your strength and your judgment and your justice. Live in us and out of us. Continue to transform us day by day, moment by moment, more and more into your image. And let your light shine through us. In Yeshua's holy name. Amen.